नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So this morning, on the auspicious day of Ekadasi, we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Text 10, Devahuti's Lamentation. Devahuti Ruvacha Radham Vata Dvija Ursaita Amogha Yoga Madhipe Mayadhipe Twayi Vibho Tad Avaimi Bharata Yas ते अभयाद्धयी समया सकृत अंगसंगो भूयाद् गार्यसी गुणः प्रवस्वः सतीनाम् देवहूतिर्वाच रद्धं बता द्विज वृषैतदमोघयोगा रद्धं बता द्विज वृषैतदमोघयोगा मायाधिपे त्वयि विभो तद्वैमि भाता यस्ते अभ्याध्ययि समया सकृदङ्गसङ्गो यस्ते अभ्या अधयि समया सकृत अंगसंगो भूयाद् गरीयसी गुणः प्रसव सतीनाम्
Devahuti Uvacha. Devahuti said, Radham, it has been achieved. Bata, indeed. Dvija Vrasa, O best of the Brahmanas. Etat, this. Amogha, infallible. Yoga Maya of mystic powers. Adhipe, the master. Twayi, in you. Vibho, O great one. Tat, that. Avaimi, I know. Bhartaha, O husband, yah, that which, te, by you, abhayadhahi, was given, samaya, promise, sakrit, once, angasanga,
bodily union,
bhuyat,
may be,
garyasi,
when very glorious,
gunaha,
a great quality, prasava,
progeny,
sati
nam,
of chaste women.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
Sri Devahuti said, "My dear husband, O best of Brahmanas, I know that you have achieved perfection and are the master of all the infallible mystic powers because you are under the protection of Yoga Maya. The transcendental nature. But you once made a promise that our bodily union should now fulfill. Since children are a great quality for a chaste woman who has a glorious husband." Purport. Devahuti expressed her happiness by uttering the word bata, for she knew that her husband was in a highly elevated transcendental position and was under the shelter of Yoga Maya. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, those who are great souls, Mahatmas, are not under the control of the material energy. The Supreme Lord, who has two energies, material and spiritual, the living entities are marginal energy. As marginal energy, a person may be under the control of the material energy or the spiritual energy, Yoga Maya. Kardama Muni was a great soul, and therefore he was under the spiritual energy, which means that he was directly connected with the Supreme Lord. The symptom of this is Krishna consciousness, constant engagement in devotional service. This was known to Devahuti. Yet she was anxious to have a son by bodily union with the sage. She remembered her husband of his promise to the parents, "I will remain until the time of Devahuti's pregnancy." She reminded him that for a chaste woman to have a child by a great personality is most glorious. She wanted to be pregnant and she prayed for that. The word stri means expansion. By bodily union of the husband and wife, their qualities are expanded. Children born of good parents are expansions of the parents' personal qualifications. Both Kardamba Muni and Devahuti were spiritually enlightened. Therefore, she desired from the beginning that first she be pregnant and then she be empowered with the achievement of God's grace and love of God. For a woman, it is a great ambition to have a son of the same quality as a highly qualified husband. Since she had the opportunity to have Kardamba Muni as her husband, she also desired to have a child by bodily union. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschittari Shatarine Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangu Langayate Girim Tatkripat Mahambande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Isharam. Hare Krishna. So the topic of Devahuti's lamentation, here we are hearing for past few days. And, you know, as per Srila Prabhupada's instructions, we do one shloka every day, and sometimes the shlokas, they move very slowly. So much repetition is there in the subject matter. However, Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to taking bath in a holy river. Sometimes we have a particular ghat, a river bank. Like in the Jamuna, there is the famous Keshi Ghat. Or if someone is living by in Banaras, in Varanasi, then the Ganges has a particular very important ghat where people go every day to bathe. So people may think, oh, this is a repetition. Every day I do the same thing. I go to the Ganges to a particular ghat and I take my bath. But what is to be noticed is every day's bath, the ghat is the same, the bank is the same, but the waters are different. It is not the same water of the Ganga in which we bathed yesterday as we are bathing today, because the waters of the river is constantly moving. So in the same way, the acharyas are explaining that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the topics sometimes can be repetitive, but the emotions of the listeners and the speakers, they are constantly changing. So with this understanding, we always try to put our attention on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, hoping and praying that every morning when we sit in class, we would be encountered with a new and different emotion in order to inspire us in Krishna consciousness, to make our faith even more determined in Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam is given to us for the purpose of expanding our bhakti, but even more than that, it is given to us for enhancing our jnana and vairagya. So here we are on the topic of Devahuti, a very elevated lady, the daughter of Manu Maharaj, extremely qualified in every respect, with her bodily beauty to her ways of seva, and yet she is desiring a son from a great personality like Kardamba Muni. Now Kardamba Muni's position can be understood just like here in the purport. Srila Prabhupada is saying that a child, a son, usually imbibes all the qualifications of the father and the mother, but basically the father. And this is the reason why in Sanskrit, one of the explanations or one of the words used for wife is also Jaya. Wife is called Jaya. But Jaya literally means mother. So how can the wife become the mother of the husband? That is not possible. It is completely wrong. How can she be called Jaya of the husband? The reason why she is called Jaya is because she gives birth to the husband. The son that she gives birth to has all the qualities of the husband. So here we can see that Devahuti, she will give birth to Kapila Muni. And therefore we can very comfortably conclude that Kapila Muni was a sage, a devotee, so high and elevated that he was almost on the platform of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because his offspring was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, like I was saying, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it enhances not only our bhakti, but also enhances our jnana and vairagya, which is extremely important in order to ornament bhakti. Bhakti without jnana and vairagya will not sustain. And Bhakti Maharani herself is not satisfied unless the devotee is very strong in his jnana and vairagya. In the Skanda Puran, there is a story like this.
in the Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmya. Mahatmya means the glories of the subject matter. And Mahatmya literally means value. What is the Mahatmya? What is the value? So when we speak of something, first we want to evaluate and give it value so that we can become very attentive towards it. If I show you a piece of stone and I say this is not a stone, it is a very valuable diamond worth $1 million, then immediately everybody wants to very attentively look at it, even feel it or keep it because of its value. So in the Mahatmya of Srimad Bhagavatam, in Skanda Puran, there is a story where Bhakti Maharani, she was once traveling all over India and she was going through different states. And Bhakti Maharani has two sons and their names are Jnana and Vairagya. So when Bhakti Maharani was traveling through Gujarat, all three of them became very old. It was because of the type of devotion that the people in that state had at that time. They were not very devoted. They did not value neither Jnana nor Vairagya or even devotion, bhakti to Krishna. And because of that, they became influenced and became very aged. Then when she came up north and she finally entered Braj region, in Braj, the devotees living in Braj, the Brajavasis, are naturally inclined toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they have a very natural bhakti. So that bhakti was there, and due to that influence, Bhakti Maharani again became Yovana. She became very young, like she was. But the Brajavasis, they do not care so much for Jnana and Vairagya. There is no need for Jnana and Vairagya in Braj. They have a very strong natural affinity for the Supreme Lord. So Jnana and Vairagya were lying completely in old age. They could not even get up. And Bhakti Maharani, with a very young body, she was crying over her two children. She was thinking, I am so young, I am the mother, how can I see my children in such condition? And at that time, Narada Muni, he was traveling through celestial and he saw this young lady pitifully crying for her these two old people. He comes down and he inquires, what is the reason for your lamentation? And Bhakti Maharani explains the entire incident to Narada Muni, understanding him to be a great elevated soul. And she requests that, please, you do something about it. I cannot see my children like this. They must also become youthful like me. So Narada Muni goes everywhere to great sages and saints, asking for a remedy as to how to rectify the situation for Bhakti Maharani. And finally, Lord Narayan gives him the remedy that the only way they can become youthful again is through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. If Srimad Bhagavatam is recited in the region of Braj and people understand the value of Jnana and Vairagya along with bhakti, then their bhakti will be very solid, and at the same time both these boys will become youthful again. So that was the way Srimad Bhagavatam was given birth in the region of Braj. Bhagavatam was spoken, and sure enough, Bhakti Maharani's two sons, Jnana and Vairagya, they became youthful again. So from these stories we can see, it is always the pious woman who not only gives birth to a child, but also brings him up in a way by which he can become very glorious in his life. He can become a great devotee of Krishna. One Vaishnava poet, he has said very wonderfully, जननी जने तो भक्त जने, या दाता या सूर, नहीं तो जननी बांझ रहे, क्यों खोवे है नूर. द पोएट इज सेइंग, हे जननी, हे मदर, हे वुमन, जननी जने तो भक्त जने, इफ यू वॉन्ट टू गिव बर्थ टू अ चाइल्ड, मेक श्योर ही हैज थ्री क्वालिटीज. जननी जने तो भक्त जने, या दाता या सूर, he must be a devotee of the Supreme Lord. He must be a data, always in service to others, always giving charity, always giving help to others. That is called a data. Not living for himself, but living for others. Ya sur, sur means valiant. Surbir. He must have great courage in order to perform devotional service. He must be very courageous, so he does not think of himself, but rather thinks of the benefit of others. So these three qualities must be there in the child that you give birth to. Otherwise, better, nahi to janani banj rahe, better you remain without a child. Because at the time of giving birth, kyon khove hai noor, at the time of giving birth, the woman ages many, many years. It is not easy. She loses much of her youth in giving birth to a child. So the Vaishnava poet is saying, don't do that. Don't lose your life over some ordinary living entity you will give birth to, who will neither have any valor in him or any charity in him, or he will not even be a devotee inclined to devotional service of the Lord. So like this, we in this particular verse, we see the quality and the role of a woman in society, how by her mere desire to have a wonderful child, the woman is always looking for also a glorious husband. Srila Prabhupada, one place has mentioned that many women will join ISKCON society in order to get good devotee husbands. And it is a good thing. Along with all the benefits that ISKCON society, that Srila Prabhupada is offering, also men are coming to this movement, becoming purified, receiving wonderful qualities, and the women, they know that this is a good place to have a good, pure, sattvic husband who can give good progeny. Devamrita Maharaj, all of you are familiar with him. He's our beloved sannyasi here. One time I was with him in Las Vegas, only a few years ago, and he told me this personal story he might have shared with all of you. He said one time he was visiting his mother, just recently, after he was devotee and sannyasi and guru. He was visiting his mother, and apparently his parents were very well-off people. And his mother mentioned something to him. She said, you know, I'm an ardent Christian. And he said, yes, mother, I know. You're a very devout Christian lady. He said, when I was conceiving you with my husband, your father, at that time, at that moment, I was praying for a good son of God. So Devamrita said, so mother, here it is. I am here. So your prayers have come correct. And she said, no, but I was praying to Jesus for a good son. I didn't want a Hare Krishna. I want. So Maharaj said, mother, I think your prayers were a little bit wrong. You said you were praying for a good servant of God. So he gave a good servant of God. If you had said you're praying for a good Christian boy, then maybe you would have gotten a Christian boy. So that story with Devamrita Maharaj, it had such an effect on me, because I was thinking how prayers, his mother was so sincere and she wanted a devoted personality, and Krishna sent the most true benediction to her, sending such an elevated Hare Krishna devotee to her family. So in the same way, Mother Devahuti also, She is very intelligent, she is pious, and she knows that by marrying Kardamba Muni, not only she is going to get a good husband, but she is going to get a family lineage through Kardamba Muni, through serving Kardamba Muni, through requesting a child from Kardamba Muni, a family lineage that will make her life very, very glorious. And like this, there are many, many stories in the Puranas where having a very qualified personality, giving birth, uniting with a woman always gives birth to great personalities. We know in the Mahabharata, Satyavati, she requested Vyasadev, her son. She said, please, my two daughter-in-laws cannot have children from the husband. I think his name was Vichitravirya. So I want you to impregnate them so that they can have some very special souls who will take care of this entire dynasty. And of course, at that time, because the two sisters, Amba and Ambalika, they were not having the correct bhav, the correct emotion, the correct faith in Vyasadev. They were looking at the exteriors of Vyasadev rather than the qualities of Vyasadev. And therefore, one lady, she had a blind as a son, and the other one had a person who had this disease in him. But the maidservant who was sent by these two queens to Vyasadeva, she had extreme faith and she knew the good qualities, and she knew by union with this personality she would be benefited, and because of that faith she had a great personality like Vidura. You see, Mahatma Vidura. So it also depends on how the faith of the woman is towards the husband. And if the woman is looking at the qualities of the husband, then she will receive children with those qualities. And if the woman is only looking for some exterior looks in the male, then she can go wrong in her decisions as to who she is choosing as a life partner. So like this, women in our scriptures, they have played a very, very important role in bringing about very good progeny. One time, one sannyasi in our movement, Radha Govinda Maharaj, he used to visit America before and preach in the summertime. So he was challenged by someone. I was sitting there in class, and he was challenged by someone that why God is only appearing in India? All the avatars are only in India. Why he never comes to Australia, he appears in America? Why only in India? So Maharaj gave a very nice reply. I still remember, it's been many years. He said, God is also looking for a qualified mother and father where to come. So in America and in Australia, he cannot find a qualified mother and father. Where is those people with pure habits and pure emotions and jnana and sattvicness? It's not there. It is there, abundantly available in India. Therefore, he has to go take birth in India all the time. If you people also become very pure through becoming Krishna conscious, then one day God will also appear in Australia or in America. So this is the way. One has to become qualified in order to receive the benedictions that we have. And here, Mother Devahuti, she qualified herself through her extreme service to this great personality, Kardamba Muni. And only then she approached him as a reminder that, my dear husband, you had promised to my parents, to my father, that you would give me a child, and then you would go to the forest and you would perform your tapasya. So now that time has come. If you are satisfied by my seva, I am simply giving you a reminder by which
You can satisfy me because I am very much desiring a son. In the scriptures also it is mentioned that a woman should always live a protected life. The first, she is protected by her father in her father's home. After that, she is protected by her husband. And then later in her life, she is protected by her sons. So, the woman's life is always that of protection. And the father, the husband, and the son, they play a very important role in the life of a woman. And this is also the reason why Devahuti, knowing that her husband by nature is a vairagi, he is an ascetic, and he is always desiring to go out in the forest to perform his tapasya and his bhajan. So this way, by him giving me a son, he will be fulfilling his obligations, and then he can go out and do his tapasya. So this is another reason why Devahuti is requesting and reminding Kardamba Muni that please, you should be, now the time has come for you to fulfill your vow. In the Ramayana, Dasarath Maharaj had three principal wives. He had many wives, but three of them were principal. So when Lord Ram, who was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he was married and he brought Sita back to Ayodhya, the three queens were there to greet Lord Ram. So in the Indian tradition, in the Vedic tradition, when the wife, she comes to the house for the first time, then the elders, they pick up the veil to see the beauty for the first time of the Bahu, the wife who comes to the house. So the three queens were there, usko muh dikhai bolte hain. You see the face of the bride for the first time. So Sumitra, Kaushalya Ma, she was the first one. She was the first one to see, and she saw the beautiful face of Sita Maharani. And so the other ladies were all there, and they said, okay Kaushalya, what are you going to give? What is that special gift you are going to give to your Bahu today in return for this muh dikhai, in return for seeing her beautiful face? So of course Mother Kaushalya wanted to give something very special. Now what can be more special to Sita than Lord Ram himself? And who is the owner of Ram? It is the mother. The mother has full ownership over the son, because she is the one who's given him birth. She is the one who's brought him up. So she takes Ram's hand and puts it in Sita's hand and said, yes, this is my muh dikhai for you. I give you Ram. And then next was Kekai, the second. And when Kekai Ma, she saw Sita Maharani's face for the first time, then again the girls were all around. They said, okay Kekai, Kaushalya has given her the best gift. What can you give her now? You know, and the Ranis want to compete. They want to give the better and better. So Kekai, she was the prettiest and the most favorite of Maharaj Dasarath. And Maharaj Dasarath had built a special mahal, a special beautiful palace for Kekai Maharani. It was called Kanak Mahal. Kanak. It was all made of beautiful diamonds and rubies and glass. So she said, I will give my Kanak Mahal. I will not live in there anymore. This now from today belongs to Sita, the Kanak Mahal. So wonderful gift. Now comes Sumitra, the youngest. And she sees the face and the two Ranis and all the other ladies. And they say, okay Sumitra, the greatest have been given away. We want to see what you are going to give. And see the bhav of Sumitra Maharani. Lakshman has also returned. He has also returned with a newly wed wife. What was her name? Urmila. He has also returned. Newly wed wife. And he is also there. Sumitra Maharani takes the hand of Lakshman and gives it to Sita Maharani. That from today,
my son Lakshman is the servant of you and your husband Lord Ram. And this is his only life and nothing other than this. So such amazing emotion and devotion women have in our scriptures and our Shastra. And afterwards, of course, when Lord Ram is going to the forest, he has been banished. Lakshman, he insists that he wants to go as his servant. He said, I have been given away by my mother to you, so I must go with you. And Ram says, no, you cannot, because you have a newly wed wife. You must take care of the father and the kingdom. Bharat is not here, you stay here. And of course, there is an exchange. And Lakshman says, no, but I want to go. And Ram says, okay, in that case, you have to go and ask your mother. At least go get permission. So when he goes to Sumitra Maharani to ask for permission, Sumitra becomes very upset and angry. She said, you had to come to me to get my approval? Don't you ever know that no one is more satisfied than me when you, my son, will become the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You go right now. You should not have come to ask for permission or to get my approval, thinking that I may have some doubt and stop you. So, like this again and again, in the Mahabharata, in the Ramayana, we see so many instances of women having such great faith and bhav of surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way, in the Bengali version of the Ramayana, it is written by who, do you remember? I forget. Very famous. Kirtivas Ramayana. In that, there is a wonderful story that is mentioned about the devotion of women and how their vatsalya even protects the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One time in Ayodhya, Lakshman came to Lord Ram and he said, my dear Lord, my dear brother, I have one question that has been bothering me for a very long time. Can I ask you? Ram says, yes, of course. What is your question, Lakshman? And he says, Ram, you and I are brothers born of the same father, is it not? He said, yes, what is the difficulty? Of course, we're brothers born of the same father. And all our mothers, they loved us equally, is it not? Yes. And we all went to the same Gurukula, and had same education, is it not? Yes. So what is your question? What are you trying to get at? He said, everything is the same. You and I are brothers, same blood. We had the same affection from our mothers, same affection from our father. We went to the same school and had education in Kshatriya education, in other Brahminical education. Then how is it, this is the question that has been bothering me. How is it that when we were fighting Ravana, Meghnath was able to injure me and almost I died and he was not able to do anything to you? And Lord Ram smiled. He said, Lakshman, I am very pleased that you asked me this question. I was actually waiting and hoping that you would have such a doubt in your mind. Now listen to the answer. He said, everything about you and me is the same. We are same. We have the same valor, same protection from our parents and our gurus. The difference is that when you and I went to Mother Sabri and she greeted us and she was feeding us this bear fruit, she was eating to taste the fruit first, whether it was sweet or not. The sweet ones she was giving to you and I, and if they were half sweet, she would throw them away. Only the sweetest one she was giving. And I was eating them with great delight. Yes, yes, Lord Ram, I did see you were eating with great delight. But you were taking those bear, and when she and I were not looking, you were throwing them down. So Lakshman said, yes, how can I eat? She's a swapacha, she's low class person, and she's making a jutha, she's eating, and then she was giving.
With you, I don't know what you do with your devotees, but I couldn't have possibly eaten that. So I was quietly, and he said, the Lakshman said, and my dear brother, you saw? He said, yes, of course I saw that you were quietly throwing them down. He said, so Lakshman, that bear of Mother Sabri, the Vatsalya that she had put into that bear, also the Vatsalya had the protection. She had put the kavacha of her Vatsalya into the offering she was making to both of us. You rejected that kavacha. I accepted it. So through the kavacha of her Vatsalya, Meghnath or Ravan could do nothing to me. But you were injured. And that same bear became Sanjeevani booty. And later on when Hanuman brought, it was her bear that became Sanjeevani booty that actually brought you back to life. So Lakshman, please never, never doubt the devotion and the vatsalya of a ladies, of a woman devotee. A devotee's devotion and vatsalya can even protect God. What to speak of protecting other living entities. So like this, these stories are there to enhance our emotion, our devotion into the qualities of women. How our mothers that have brought us into this world, the fact that so many of us are performing devotional service in this horrible environment of Kali Yuga, a lot of that credit goes to our parents. Much of that credit goes to our mother. It is even mentioned one place that if a person is sitting on the Vyasasana and giving discourse in Srimad Bhagavatam, and if his father enters the room, he should offer him pranams from the Vyasasana. But if his mother was to enter the room, he must get down from his Vyasasana and offer obeisances and then get back on the Vyasasana. So such is the position of mother in our lives. And when I was thinking of what subject matter to speak on, I was thinking that this is what we should be contemplating. The role of the mother, the sacrifice of the mother, the prayers of the mother that has actually brought all of us into this world, has nourished us, made us into who we are today. And the devotional service that we perform to our Guru and to the Supreme Lord will benefit our parents, will benefit our generations, our ancestors. And with that in mind, we should become very responsible in our duties in execution of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to the mission of our acharyas. So I think I pretty much covered a few points I had written. I can take a few questions or comments. It's almost 8:30. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhuji.
If we displease our parents by becoming devotees, will that displeasure hinder our devotional service?
Thank you. Yeah, good question, Prabhu. Surely. If we displease our parents by becoming devotee, will that hamper? If our parents are displeased due to ignorance, then it will not have so much effect. But even then, the endeavor should be made that later on, as we become strong in devotional service, we must approach them and with service, with kind words, with explanation, try to appease and heal their wound as much as possible. Because a person is truly indebted to mother and father, and it becomes his duty that they do not remain displeased for a very long time. In the beginning, it can be seen due to their attachment, and they have certain aspirations and expectations from us. They have put us through education, they want so many things from us. And suddenly this is a very big surprise, a very big shock. So yes, of course. And they're only displeased because they care for us, for our future. And they do not see a future for us the way we in this world. But there is a future for us afterward. And eventually they realize that even devotees in ISKCON, they live very good lives, very comfortable, very healthy, very respectful. But that takes them time because their bubble has been broken. So it is always advised to be respectful, to be patient, and not to become a fanatic at that time and cause more harm to their wound. Srila Prabhupada was very, very respectful in his dealings with the parents whose children he influenced to become devotees. And he was so caring and respectful that after having meeting with Srila Prabhupada, most often the parents became very satisfied. So in the same way, we should also do the same thing. When I became a devotee, I was 23 years of age. And you know, my father was a very wealthy man. And he had many businesses and much going on. And he sent me to the highest school and colleges. So he had great expectations. And then coming from a Marwari family, you don't see Marwari boys becoming sadhus. So nobody in my family had ever, you know. I mean, they were saintly people. They were all Vaishnavas. We had Radha Krishna deities. We still have. That was before my birth. But never sadhu. So my father came to Mayapur after 15 days when I had run away, and he brought 4 pandits from Varanasi to defeat all the gurus of our movement, Jayapataka Swami and all these people. Of course, you know, you cannot defeat a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. They've got all the arguments, you know. So after 2-3 days of trying this and that, so many things, he gave up. But then when he was leaving, having frustrated and giving up, because I kept telling him, I said, I like this way of life. And of course, I was his son, so I was also a clever guy. I said, just give me 6 months, I want to study Gita. He couldn't say anything to that. But he knew that because I was already shaved head and I had saffron cloth and I was wearing those pegged shoes already in the first 15 days. So when he saw my attire, he knew that I was fanatically, you know, completely taken up to this. So I remember he told me, and he told me this in some anger. He said, you fool. He said, we are Marwaris. All our lives, our ancestors, our family members, our business is to make temples and give to sadhus. We make temples for sadhus. And you are the first one in my family who is sitting here eating sadhus food. You are being provided for by a sadhu. How shameful. We provide for the sadhus. We build temples for them. We bring things for them. We always provide for the sadhus. We are grihasthas. And you are eating sadhus food? This is very shameful. You should come back with me. Of course, I didn't listen. But that chastisement that he gave 37, 38 years ago, it became a blessing for me. Because today, I am building temples. Everywhere I go, I try to do fundraising and build temples. So I think of my father. He was my father, an elderly person. And he said this to me in chastisement, but it became a blessing. And later on, my father actually was chanting 16 rounds. And he told me, few years after I had become devotee, one time he said, I have met your Srila Prabhupada ji, and he personally made me a life member. And I said, is my father lying or is he forgetting? Because why didn't he tell me this years ago? And then that very year, he passed away. And 1 week after he passed away in 1986, Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja book came out. And in that book, there were 5 pictures of Srila Prabhupada and my father. Different pictures. And this was in the Hanging Gardens of Bombay, in the Nepean Sea Road, where Srila Prabhupada had just returned from America for the first time with some of his main disciples, and he was staying with Srinathji's house in Mumbai. And Srila Prabhupada was taking his morning walk. My father was also a morning walker, and he saw a saintly person with all these Western disciples. So he went up and offered his obeisances, and he inquired about Srila Prabhupada. And all those pictures are there, my father offering his pranams. One picture is Srila Prabhupada with his bead bag, and he's got the life membership form, you can see, and he's handing it to my father at 6 o'clock in the morning. And one picture, they're having a very big laugh together. So my father told me that when I saw your Prabhupada, I asked him, please come to our house, take prasad, you're a sadhu. And your Prabhupada said, you know what? I said, what? He said, no, I won't come to your house. So I was surprised. And he said, why won't you come to my house? He said, are you life member? I don't go to anyone's house. So my father said, what is a life member? And immediately he gave him. He said, you become life member now, 1100 rupees. 1100 rupees. And I will come to your house. So, such a missionary our Srila Prabhupada was. He never, he knew, here's a man, pious enough, he'll become a life member early in the morning. He'll give my mission 1100 rupees. And my father signed the form, you see. So like this, but then just see, that one little surrender of my father on the spot to Srila Prabhupada has now taken care of generations of my father's family. Me and my brothers, we are devotees. My children are devotees. So how Srila Prabhupada, like a touchstone, if we simply surrender to Srila Prabhupada, even a little bit, spontaneously at that particular time, without giving time or maya any room, immediately Srila Prabhupada's mercy comes in. Just like the greatest sun, so bright the sun is, so powerful the sun is, but if you have a small little curtain in your room, the sun cannot enter your room. So powerful he is, and yet he cannot enter your room, only because of a little curtain. In the same way, with all the power of the Shastra and the Supreme Lord and the representatives that he is again and again sending, if we do not unveil our consciousness to receive this power, just like the sun, they all become useless for us. They cannot enter into our lives. They cannot change our lives. They cannot have effect on our lives. So these are some of the little things to remember. That yes, Krishna is very powerful. His message is very powerful. The devotees are very powerful. But greater power than that is our ignorance. The curtain that we put to ourselves between the Supreme Lord and ourselves. And that is why Srila Prabhupada had mentioned one time. He said, the Indian people, the people born in India, they are very close to Krishna. But unfortunately, due to the influence of the material world, their face is turned the other way around. If they simply turn their face the other way, they will feel and come very close to Krishna very quickly. So all of us, we are very fortunate that somehow or the other, pretentiously or actually, we are trying to turn our face towards the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam, and due to which all of us are experiencing the benefit in our lives, the wonderful peacefulness in our life, the sattvicness in our life, the jnana, the vairagya, the bhava, the bhakti. All these things are being experienced by us. What to speak of what is waiting for us after life. Tremendous. Srila Prabhupada said, your life may be a little bit bitter in the beginning, but a spiritualist life is glorious in the end. And a materialist life may be very enjoyable, so-called, in the beginning, but it is very regrettable in the end. So with that, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.